Would you agree with me this morning that who you bow down to is a powerful expression of the nature of your heart? If you pay attention to sports at all, you have been following the story of Tim Tebow. Tebow's parents are missionaries, and the doctors advised his mother to abort him because of the danger of the pregnancy. Did you know that? His mother chose to let her baby live, and then she homeschooled Tim, along with his four siblings in Florida. Then a law was passed allowing homeschool children to participate in public school sports. Pretty good idea, I think, since their parents also pay taxes, but I won't get into that on Christmas. But anyway, Tim began playing quarterback for Nice High School and distinguished himself very quickly as an excellent athlete, as a motivator of other people on the team. Also somewhat controversial, frankly, because of his presence as a homeschooler on a public school team. As it turns out, the words controversy and Tebow often kind of go together in the same sentence, because he's not only an outstanding football player, he's simultaneously been an outspoken follower of Jesus Christ. He did missionary work in the Philippines. He characteristically, if you know anything about sports, you know this, he characteristically begins any interview by thanking Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, for any athletic ability he has. And then he immediately thanks his teammates for any success that he's ever experienced on the field. But throughout his stellar athletic career, first at the University of Florida, and now as the quarterback of the Denver Broncos, what has become the greatest focus has also been nicknamed now Tebowing. Tebowing. In fact, I would encourage you, Google the word Tebowing. I did that this week and found this definition. I'm not making this up. This is what I found on the internet defining Tebowing. To get down on a knee and start praying, even if everyone else around you is doing something completely different. Again, I didn't make that up. That's right off of the internet. There's also an article this week on the Fox News website that said this. The Global Language Monitor announced Monday of this week that it acknowledges that the word Tebowing has officially entered the English language. Again, I'm not making that up. That's true. That will now be in the dictionary. I was reading a story a couple of weeks ago about a little boy who was going into surgery, and he assured his parents and everybody else that was there in the room that everybody was going to be okay because, you know, because he had Tebowed. That's exactly what that little boy said. Everything's going to be fine, Mom. It's going to be fine, Dad, because I Tebowed. Pictures are literally coming in from around the world of people Tebowing. This is from a cricket player in Pakistan, Tebowing. These are a couple of Major League Baseball players in Rome, Tebowing. Here's a pro golfer and another professional baseball player, Tebowing in Cabo. This is of Lindsey Vonn, who's an Olympic skier. She got permission from Tebow's brother just to be sure that that would not be taken disrespectfully. And after she won an important race recently, she Tebowed. Wouldn't you love it if your name was going to be associated with something that it was associated with you, bowing down to your God in such a faithful and profound way that it turned the world upside down, where everybody is talking about it so much so that the editors of the dictionary acknowledge that they're going to add your word to the next edition of their dictionary. That's having an impact, huh? It leads to a question, doesn't it? Who are you going to be bowing down to this Christmas? Not just literally, and probably not on a football field, but everywhere you find yourself in the next 2 weeks, who are you going to be bowing down to? With that in mind, open your Bible to Matthew chapter 2. That's on page 1 of the back section of the Bible under the chair in front of you if you need help finding that one. In Matthew chapter 2. Now, I realize that this is about the time that a poor fellow reaches over to his wife and whispers, "Oh, no, Ethel, I think Pastor Byers forgot that today is the day of the Christmas musical." No, I didn't, Vern. Okay, it's okay. I just want you to have something directly from the Word of God that frames this great music and narration that we're about to enjoy together. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to..." Tebow. Literally, we've come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. That's an interesting way to respond, by the way. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "From the Old Testament, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what was written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel." And then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so I too may come and worship him." The liar. And after hearing the king, they went their way. And the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and they worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the false worshiper, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Now, this Christmas season, we've been talking about that crazy family of yours. Now, how do we handle the special challenges that come in this particular time of year when you're just around people and situations that can be, shall we say, a bit challenging? And one answer is by fixing your focus, by being sure that you're bowing down to the right thing. Or in this case, to be sure at Christmas time that you're bowing down to the right person. Now think with me about this story of the wise men quickly, and let's consider three lessons from men who bowed down wisely to help us be prepared for the musical. First of all, be sure that the object of your worship deserves that position. You know, there's very little we actually know about these wise men. And most of what is on Christmas cards, I'm sorry to say it, is just wrong. Or at least speculative. For example, we don't know that there were only three. There could have been 300. All we know is there were three kind of gifts that were presented, but we don't know for sure how many people were actually part of that party of men. And we certainly don't know that they rode camels. All apologies to the living nativity. I actually read a writer this week who believes that they probably rode Arabian horses. Oh, no. Where do you get them? We don't know their country of origin. It just says from the east. Well, that takes in a lot of territory. I mean, we don't know for sure. We don't even know the exact meaning of the biblical word magi. Or wise men. That leaves a lot of room for interpretation. But we do know this. They were intent on bowing down. They were intent on T-bowing. They were intent on worshiping the one whose birth had been revealed to them by the presence of a star. And they made a beeline to find the place of his birth so they could bow down and worship him. And I want to suggest to you this morning that if we're going to handle the next 14 days well, we're going to have to look for opportunities to do that exact same thing. In our hearts and minds to Tebow, to come and to bow down to him. I've seen all sorts of opportunities where people were doing that in the last several days. I came into the community center last Saturday when we were having our Christmas for Everyone distribution to the people in need in our town of Christmas gifts for their kiddies. And I watched people from this church just quietly and calmly going about their task of serving people in need. You know what they were doing? They were T-bowing. They were bowing down to Christ and therefore serving others in need. Our family came to the Living Nativity as spectators last weekend, and we were greeted by one of our young teenage girls in our church who had a big smile on her face before she even realized it was her pastor. And what was that young girl doing on a cold Saturday night when she could have been doing so many other things? She was T-bowing. She was bowing down to her Lord and Savior, the leader of the living nativity, walking around night after night, checking everything to be sure it's going well. He's Tebowing. The man who directs our sets, whose wife passed away just a few weeks ago, who was right there at the entrance to the living nativity, greeting guests with the goofiest hat on the face of the earth on his head. What was he doing? Even during a time of grief, he was Tebowing. See, every thought, every desire, every word, every action is an expression of worship. It reveals the identity of your functional God. And I would encourage you, as you listen to this music and hear this narration, to ask yourself how you can bow down to Christ and how you can worship Him in the way that you would respond to whatever challenges might come up when you're around that crazy family of yours or anyone else in the next 14 days. Now think about it from Herod's perspective. Beware of the tendency to let your personal agenda crowd out the Savior. You realize if you follow sports, and why wouldn't you? Hey, if you follow sports, this Tebowing thing has created a fair amount of controversy. You know that? There's also, they don't know what in the world to do with him. Well, that happened the first Christmas, didn't it? The Bible says when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled. Why troubled? The king was born. That word literally means agitated, like Herod found himself inside the washing machine with it being turned on. Agitated. Why was that? Well, it's because Herod already had a king. And it is himself. And that is a surefire way to ruin Christmas for yourself and your family. Now, believing that the day or the season or a particular event revolves around you. See, Jesus is the rightful king. And he might be planning some challenges for you this Christmas. He might be planning some disappointments. He might be planning some occasions where you're going to be sinned against or slighted in some way, just so you'll have an opportunity to Tebow, to bow down in your heart and serve your rightful king, even when it's hard. So, when your heart starts to become agitated over the next couple of weeks, just ask yourself, am I focused right now on my agenda or am I focused on the agenda of my rightful king? And I realize you might say, well, how can you even have that kind of, you're talking about like a personal relationship with Jesus. It is. It is. In fact, you may have heard recently where Tebow said some people were fussing at him about how he continues to do that time after time after time. Why does he just do it once to get it over with? Tebow had a fascinating response to that. He said, well, my relationship with Jesus, my love for him, it's like a husband's relationship with his wife. A guy wouldn't just tell his wife he loved her on their wedding day and then never say it again. A good husband's going to look for as many opportunities to say and to show his wife he loves her day after day after day, every time he gets an opportunity. And Tebow said, that's what my relationship with Christ is like. And I know you might say, what is that? Well, the musical and the narration is about to explain exactly how to have that kind of a personal relationship. And we're going to encourage you to establish that relationship today if you never had before. And if you do know Christ, I'm going to encourage you to allow this music to help you recommit yourself to bowing down to your rightful king each and every time you have an opportunity to do so in these next 14 days. Lastly, let fulfilled prophecy adjust your focus this Christmas. I realize you might be a skeptic. Why should I bow down to a newborn? Well, a lot of reasons. But one of the ones that comes screaming out of this text is that the precise details of his birth were prophesied hundreds of years before they occurred. What are you going to do with that? It's almost like God has a plan. And not just that the Broncos would beat the Bears last Sunday night in overtime. I'm not really happy about that part of his plan, by the way, but he didn't ask me. But not just that kind of a plan. I'm talking about a plan outlined in Scripture where the precise details of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection were prophesied hundreds of years before they occurred, making it easier for you to believe. making it easier for you to bow down to the rightful king. Well, friend, that's enough of me. We're going to let the music take over. But before we do, let's take our helmets off. Let's get down on one knee metaphorically. Let's bow down and ask God to help us, shall we? Father in heaven, we know that you have each one of us here for a reason. And we know that music can be a powerful way to convey biblical truth. And so I would pray right now for every man and woman who's going to participate in this presentation. Would you help them? And Lord, would you help us? Would you help our hearts to be open to what you would be conveying to us? And Lord, so many different spiritual conditions represented in the room. But I'm so glad the Holy Spirit is here, who knows each one of us individually and can use this music and the biblical truth that it conveys to help each one of us personally see the next step in the journey and then actually give us the strength and the courage to take that step. So, Lord, help us now as we learn what it means more to bow down to Jesus. We pray this in His name. Amen.